got three people. Them go taku taku. Them just the parambulates. So story, story heavy. Oh, hey, partner, bring light. Oh, hey, partner, bring light. Oh, generator.
Hello, good morning. Good morning, Lagos. Good morning, Nigeria. My name is Jadisola Rawa, and I'm sitting in for Dr. Wiebe Boa on Power Solutions with Dr. Boa today. So I'm hoping we're going to have a fantastic show and, you know, kind of like just play around while the boss is away. And on the show today, I have a very important person. Her name is Heidi Akran. She's the investment officer from the International Finance Corporation, IFC. Please say hello to Nigeria, Heidi.
Good morning, Nigeria. Good morning, Jadisola. Thank you so much for having us on the show today.
Thank you very much for coming, Heidi. And Heidi's got her colleague in the studio as well, Robo. But Robo is shy, so he's off here today. Okay, Heidi, thank you very much for joining us. We're going to be talking to you today about IFC, pretty much. But before we delve into all of that on the show, I'd like you to tell us a little bit about yourself. Heidi's not a Nigerian name, so how did you come about here?
I think the world is global. I'm very much Nigerian. I'm from Delta State, and I'm married to a man from Dagri. And so my children are a quarter Yoruba, quarter Igbo, quarter Igbo, and quarter Irish. So the United Nations of Nigeria.
Fantastic. Okay, Heidi. So you work for the IFC. You're the investment officer. Can you tell us, a little bit about the IFC, what you're doing in Nigeria and, what you and your team do specifically?
Yes, of course. The International Finance Corporation is a member of the World Bank Group that has 189 member countries. IFC is the largest development finance institution. What that means is that we're an institution that's looking to support the private sector entrepreneurs and companies. So we look to provide advisory services, investments to the private sector, and we look to see what we can do to enable the private sector to flourish. And that is what we see our role to be. And we see that the private sector as a means of unlocking, providing jobs and alleviating poverty.
So when you say the private sector, can you be a bit more specific? Are we talking about the the small scale businesses? Are we talking about like the large corporations? And how exactly, I know you said advisory services, but is that in the off-grid space? How does this play?
Okay, so the IFC covers different sectors. So we have a financial services team, we have an infrastructure team, we have a manufacturing team. We cover basically every sector. And so what we look to do when I talk about the private sector, we look at all across all from large companies down to small companies as well. But the way we target them, the instruments that we have is very, very different. So the approach that we would take for a large conglomerate is very different from a small company. Nigeria in particular has a very thriving SME business. So we are always looking for ways that we can support the SME sector. So in terms of the approach, it's different. So we look to see, sometimes we look to partner with financial intermediaries and provide investment and advisory services to the banks, as an example, because they have a wide distribution network, that you have a bank almost on every street. You don't necessarily have an IFC on every street. So in that way, we're able to reach a larger client base by partnering up with a financial intermediary. So we tailor our approach depending on the clients, and on the group that we're trying to target.
Fantastic. Okay, now let's talk a little bit more granular, right? How is the IFC involved with the off-grid space? What do you do within the off-grid renewable energy space?
Right, so off-grid, I think first of all, we have to, let's look what the term off-grid is. Really broad. It encompasses it encompasses things from the Pico products, the mini grids, the solar home solutions, captive power for commercial and industrial users. So that term is very broad to encompass several aspects. So what IFC is looking to do, we're trying to support all of those subsectors. And we see the off-grid as complementary to on-grid. Again, depending on who you're trying to target, the area, there is always a solution that's more, a better solution than one or the other. But we definitely see the off-grid as complementary to the on-grid. So in terms of what we're doing, we have different initiatives and programs that we're looking. So our primary role is to say, what can we do to enable the to private sector to flourish? So, for example, we have a sustainable energy finance program, and we look to that to provide advisory services and training for off-grid developers and entrepreneurs. So it will look for training for the installation, for mini grid designs, and solar PV installations as well. We also, through this program, also look to provide some capacity training for financial institutions for them to understand the mini off-grid products, how to look to provide funding for them, to address key risk, and to make them more comfortable. We also have a quality assurance program that we've looked for our Pico products, the small lighting lamps, etc. Because one of the issues, the feedback that we got from the market was, well, we bought this product and it doesn't work. And we know that one of the things is to make sure that the consumers have confidence in the product, and the long-term success of a market is making sure that the confidence of the consumer is there in the long term. So we see it is important to support institutions, programs that help to build quality assurance, that help to raise the confidence of the consumers. On the investment side,
yeah, again, I was going to be like, you have to talk about money. You can't be working for the International Finance Corporation and we can't talk about money. So.
It's true again. So as you know, we're a member of the World Bank Group. And so what we've done is that we have an off-grid initiative team that's been set up for Sub-Saharan Africa to see what we can do to support the sector. So in Nigeria in particular, the World Bank Group is working with the Rural Electrification Agency.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because, you know, like I know that the REA is funded by the World Bank. So, yeah, please tell us a bit more about that.
Well, okay, partially. The World Bank is providing a program for REA. So there are two components of that we're looking to support. There's the mini-grid tender process, and also the result-based financing. I'm sorry, I'm speaking in acronyms here. I'm totally institutionalized. let me break that down.
Yes, please.
So the REA has a program to reach out for energy access to areas that are, and where the World Bank is looking to support that. So IFC is part of the program is to encourage the private sectors to come and bid for mini-grid tenders or to develop like mini-grids that could have access to some grant financing. There is still some funding that these developers will have to raise, and this is where the role of IFC steps in. We look to see how we can support those developers. And the approach, again, depending on sizing, is different. So to the extent that we see the sector as really, it's an immense sector with lots of opportunity. For institutional players, so these are large organizations like IFC and other institutional players, the size becomes a key. It's we need to see some scale. So we're really supportive of what REA is doing, looking to put together lots, and that helps create the scale that is needed for us to make an investment. But there are some other smaller developers who are looking to do one or two mini grids or smaller projects. And how we look to target them is again through the use of our financial intermediaries, saying providing loans to the banks.
So when you say financial, is that the banks?
Yes, who then own them because they have the distribution network.
So I'm going to stop you right there and have a conversation with you about this, because from my interaction with most of the small businesses, it's always like, oh no, the banks are not giving us money. So if you're saying now that, you know, the IFC, you know, part of what you do is talk to the banks and, you know, kind of like guide them on the space and everything. So is there a disconnect? What's going on? Why are those people still complaining that, you know, banks, you know, it's hard to access financing from banks?
Financing is just one aspect in looking at a successful project development. There are many different aspects of evaluating a project that you look to. So we look at the sponsor, for example. What is the experience? Sorry, we look at the sponsor. What has been the experience of the sponsor in developing such a project? Have they done it before? Have they done it successfully? Does the sponsor have skin in the game? What that means is you can't come to ask a bank to give you 100% of financing. Yeah. You need to show that
commitment.
Your own level of commitment. There's also the business plan of the sponsor. There's also the pipeline as well. Most investors don't want to invest in one project. They want to be able to see that there is a pipeline of projects that they can look to fund over time. So it's not, the financing is not one aspect. It's then evaluating the project as a whole and saying, okay, that this works for us. It meets the criteria. This one's it meets our criteria. The sponsor meets the criteria, and that's what the banks would look at.
Okay. So if you say this, and I hear you, how about does that mean that right now maybe IFC should be more targeted at making sure that these companies are able to, like, you know, to, so that when they approach the banks, you know, they're solid enough to be able to, like, you know, put forward all of these things that you've mentioned. You know, I know your solution seems very end to end. You're working with the small companies to make sure that, you know, their businesses are viable, advisory support, mm-hmm. and all of that. So do you think the time right now for IFC is to focus more on the advisory support so that these people are able to now access the financing that these banks are able to give?
I think that's where we're putting a lot of we are putting some effort into that. So, for example, in 2018, we had 13 solar training programs that was conducted in Nigeria. We trained over 281 solar professionals. So we are doing that. We're also working with the banks. So it is a matter of the scale. I guess maybe the frustration is the opportunity is so large. Can we target everyone and everything? No, we can't. But can we target a significant? Can we make an impact? And the answer is yes. But so I think...
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So one of the things that you mentioned earlier when you were talking as well is the quality assurance program. Mm-hmm. And I reckon that, you know, you would probably be doing this in partnership with the with REAN. Is this something? Is that what you're... Are you doing this in partnership with REAN? That's the Renewable Energy Association of Nigeria. Or how do you roll out this quality assurance program? How does that work?
So we've been looking to train. So one of the things that we work with the manufacturers, and we also worked with the developers. So we've seen, we've used our training partners. We've used also NAPTIN as well to roll it to do some of our training as well. I think the key is actually more of a broader question here. They're saying, look, but I would urge, like, when the developers are looking to develop their projects, they need to be cognizant of not necessarily going for the cheapest product available on the market. They need to look at the whole lifespan of the project. how long, what is the asset life of this? Those products you might have to pay slightly more for that, but it gives you a longer asset life. It gives the consumer, again, we're back to the confidence of the consumer as well. So I think so. It's also starting from the developer, making sure that when you're looking to procure your products, that these, it's not just IFC, they also have different institutions that also provide accreditation for products. So making sure that these products meet those standards and can satisfy over
a long period of time
as well.
Excellent. Now, you mentioned, you've talked a bit about, you know, the human capacity development, the trainings that you're doing and everything. Mm-hmm. I want to believe that, you know, from some of these trainings, you probably have like some stories, like some impact stories that, you know, that you can share. So how has this been? Is there anything specifically that stands out to you in terms of like, you know, what these people that have been trained have gone on to achieve under the IFC umbrella?
I wish I had my colleague here that led it, but I know he's talked to me that when we're looking at the Pico products, we went out on the street, he had all these programs that he would go out to the marketplace, and it made a huge difference working with the microfinance as well, banks there, the traders on the street, having to have the lights and have the recommend, that was a huge positive for our end consumers.
Are these trainings free? Let me ask you that. So when these trainings happen, are they free? Is the IFC funded?
To the extent, so there has to be a way of also allocating. We have allocating our budget. So last year again, we provided a tuition scholarship. So 75% of the 281 people that we mentioned, we provided scholarships for them to be trained, and we're also looking to bring in all our donor partners as well to see what they can do to help, so to create more capacity
to
be able to do that. So the key is just to do more of those and raise the awareness of different participants in the sector.
Okay, since you're looking for partners, maybe Olon should talk with you, because we also have some trainings that we do at Olon on this installation and, you know, mini grid designs and things like that. So yeah, maybe it's a conversation worth having. So we're going to go to the phone lines in a bit. So if you have any questions, please stay online. In about 2 to 3 minutes, we're going to be going to the phone lines, and the phone lines are they'll be open. So please just hang in there with your questions. Now, let me talk to you about challenges. What would you say are some of the biggest challenges that IFC has encountered in the course of your work in Nigeria, within the off-grid space specifically?
Well, I don't like to use the word challenges. So for me, it's good if you have an obstacle, that means that you kind of have a project that you're looking at. So one of the things, again, I'll talk about is I think it's a great opportunity for aggregation. That we've seen that this sector, there are many developers, many players in this market. We think that the aggregation, that there's an opportunity to aggregate and create larger portfolios, not necessarily just for the finance, but also for the economics of scale. Is a difference if you're saying that you know you're putting in an order. Everybody knows that it's different, like if you're buying one box of detergent than if you're buying 1,000 boxes of detergent. So you create economies of scale. It creates like also then being able to rationalize your O&M team. So if you have large projects, you can have the same size of team working on 10 different projects, whereas if you just have one, you still need, you know, a team to service that. So having to share the costs. So we see the aggregation of opportunity here to aggregate as it's a great opportunity. And we would encourage like the developers to find ways of working together to create that aggregation.
Excellent. I think we're going to put out the numbers now. If anybody wants to call in, if you've got a question or a comment,
Call us on 01-277-0993, 01-277-1993, 01-277-2993, and 01-277-3993. This is Nigeria Info. We are listening.
Okay, while we're waiting for people to call it, oh, we actually have a caller on the line. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, your guest there is talking something which I think is an official thing. If you go to the, if you go practically to the bank, the interest those banks do charge, what are they doing to advise them? Because you cannot, you know, they remove money from your account. They even still charge you 20%, 25% if you want to do anything, you want to borrow money. How can you get money for a small scale thing when NEPA is not even there or all those bottlenecks?
All right, sir. Okay. Thank you very much for your question. So, Heidi, again, from your conversation with the banks, is there anything that, you know, is being done or can be done to make sure that the rates are a bit more favorable to the small businesses?
Let me just take a step back and say, like, one of the things that we see, infrastructure, especially power, it's an enabling that you need it for other businesses to function. Without power, you can't get, it's one of the largest operating costs most people will bear, that you talk to anybody and they say power is a big issue. So it's why that we're looking at saying that we must provide the power through on-grid and off-grid as well. Now, in terms of then talking about the interest rates, I'm not an economist, but we are in an era that even the rates that the government lends at is quite high. So there's a broader conversation that has to be had on how do we look to provide funding, cheaper access to funding, whether we're looking at some concessional loans. So in certain areas, like for example, in fragile and conflict states, there's usually some concessional funding available. There's some green funding available as well. But those pockets are, we can't look at it. The opportunity we have is so much larger than that.
Okay, while we're still waiting to see if we can get maybe one more call in, because our time is fast spent, do you want to just, you know, to round us up? Okay, I understand we have one more call. Hello, good morning. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Please tell us your name and your question, please.
Okay, sorry about that.
Can you reduce the volume of your radio a bit? Thank you. Excellent. Your name, your question. Oh, we lost that call. Okay, so I'm just, to round up the show, I'm just going to ask you one more question. So IFC, future projection, what are some of the things, you know, where do you see IFC in the next 5 years? Do you see yourself achieving some of your aims in the country? So tell us, you know, what the future holds for IFC.
So the off-grid space is one, it's not just one that's taken off in Nigeria, it's one that's taken off globally. There's a lot of interest in the off-grid sector.
Oh, I understand we have a call.
Okay.
Hello, good morning. Your name and your question, please.
Hello, good morning.
Morning, sir.
My name is Ubi, calling from Lekki.
Okay. Your question, please.
Okay, I want to know if IFC offer intensive for those who are graduating students who have interest in the power sector.
If IFC offers internship,
yes, probably in renewable energy.
In renewable energy. Okay, I'm going to let Heidi answer that. I know they have training programs. How does this fit into?
Yeah, and please, they do how?
Okay, thank you very much for your question.
So we do have there's a career website that I would urge your listeners to go to. I think if you go to the IFC page, there is a career link.
So do you want to share the IFC site?
I think it's, I would type ifc.org, just search for the IFC, okay. Yes, and then there should be a link to the career website. You can search for region, country, the opportunities that are available and see what's available. So like any organization, we also we post the openings, all our openings on that website. So all of us, myself and Robo here, that's how we applied. We registered, we set up an email account to get alerts of positions that were coming. So if there's anyone that's interested, I'd urge they go, but also to read, and to read there also like examples of people, what they're doing, it's on the type of roles, and it gives a description of the job that you're looking at, the requirements that are.
Excellent. So again, I'm just going to, as an offshoot of that question, so the companies or the entrepreneurs that you send for the individuals that you send for this training that you do, how do you select them? Do they apply? What's the process like? Okay, so do they apply?
There's an application process.
Okay.
Right. So I don't know whether there's a window open now. So they usually come in windows.
Okay,
as well.
For the trainings to happen. Okay, so we're almost at the end of the show. So you were telling us, like, you know, what the future projection is for IFC in Nigeria.
So Off-Grid is a big space, not just for Nigeria, globally. There is a... we have another
call. So I think this is probably going to be our last call. Oh, the line's cut off, so please continue, Heidi. I know. the third time's the charm. That time's the charm.
Right. So, the theme, the off-grid theme is also one that's is also a global theme. That is, we see some big interest in this sector. So for us here is that we would look to see how we can, again, we would love to see in a few years' time, our intention is that we'd have made investments in this sector, not just in Nigeria, but across the globe as well, across sub-Saharan Africa as well. And we'd like to see that we were one of the earlier supporters and investors in this sector. We'd like to see that a lot of positive reviews at IFC and a lot of people promoting IFC for us.
Excellent. Thank you very, very much for coming on the show. Thank you, everyone. It's been Power Solutions with Dr. Weber, even though I'm not Dr. Weber. Dr. Weber will be back next week. So thank you very much and have a great day, Nigeria. Thank you.
Thank you.